Y'all acting like you hadn't been out all week. What's going on here? Yeah. So you survived the snow. Barely. My wife said barely. Well, I had already decided what I was going to talk about this morning, and it just fits in good with what we just went through. Snow. Because it seems like there's some people that when winter comes, they have a hard time dealing with it. They actually have a disorder for that. It's called seasonal affective disorder, called SAD. Have y'all heard of that? Where winter comes and the days are shorter, and because of that, you don't get as much light. And some people, because of that, they actually become more depressed during the winter time. And what it is their exposure to light stops or shrinks some, so they're not getting as much sunlight as they were before. And with sunlight, when we see the sun, our body releases a chemical called serotonin. But yet if you don't see the sunlight as much, your body doesn't produce as much of that. But the opposite happens then, because then when you start seeing all this dark time, your body thinks, well, it's nighttime, and then it starts producing another chemical, and that kind of makes you sleepy. So have you noticed how you're sleepy sometimes in the wintertime a whole lot more than you are in the summertime? There's a medical term for that, and it's called SAD. So y'all are just a bunch of sad people that have this. But the remedy to this is what they say is it affects maybe 1 in 5 people. The remedy is, what would you think it would be? You think they would just give you a pill and you would take the pill and you'd be fine? They say, Joe says a couch. They say the best thing to do is to turn on a bright light and sit in the room with a bright light, and your body sees it, absorbs the light. Now your brain starts producing the chemical that it needs to. So the treatment for this disease, this disorder, is light. And what we're going to talk about today is light. If you look at your listening guide, the big idea that we're going to see is that God is the source of all life. God is the source of all life. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning because we talked about creation. But now we're going to talk about it again right now. The first thing we're going to look at is God is light. God is light. And we can see that starting in verse 5. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Says, this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. All right, let me pray. Lord, I thank You for Your Word, and how there are times when we try to have words to describe You, but we don't need to. You've already described Yourself. I thank You for that. Help us right now just to understand what that means, that You are light. And then help us to apply that to our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so why is this important? Why is it, because John's coming in here and he's writing a letter to the Ephesians, and in here he's saying God is light. God's defining Himself right now. Why is that important? Well, God's our Creator. He created everything. So if He created everything, that means God alone is the one that decides who is going to define Him. And He says He's going to define Him. And He's doing it right here in His Word, because He's saying, I'm light. Period. End of story. I'm light. You don't get to define Me any way you want to. Because there are some people nowadays, it seems like they'll say, have you ever heard of a self-made man? Have y'all heard that term before? How somebody made something of themselves and they say, well, I worked really hard, I had to do all this and had to do all that. And by saying that, they discount God's effect in their life. Maybe God's the one that put them in a position where they could have the chance to make it on their own. And they discount it by saying, I'm a self-made man. I did all this on my own. You see what I did on my own. We don't do anything on our own. God's there for us all the way through. And then other people, have you heard them say, I like to think of God as, and then they'll say whatever. Have y'all heard people say that before? To me, God is this, or to me, God is that. They're trying to define who God is. God doesn't allow that. And that's what John's saying in here. He's saying, God is light. He's the one that defines who He is. But now, why is that so important? Well, here's why that's important. Because if our view of God is distorted, that means that everything else in our life can be distorted. Because if we don't have the right view of God, how can we have the right view of everything else in our life? We've got to understand who God is so that we then can understand everything else. So we have to understand that He's our Creator. That's first and foremost. And John's telling us that because he comes into here and he says, I know this because I witnessed this myself. And we can see it here. He says, this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you. So he's saying, how do I know that God is light? Because God, through Jesus Christ, told me He's light. He is the one that defined this, not me. God's the one that said this. I did. That's how we know it. So we can see that God is light. Now, what does that mean? Well, light gives life. If we look at it, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning in creation. In Genesis 1:3, it said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, why is that so important? Why is light so important? If you think about it, we can't have life on this earth without the sun. The sun goes away, all life goes away. Everything. Plants, animals, us, everything has to have light to live. There is no other way around it. Scientists can't refute it. If there is no light, there's no life. And here John is saying, God has said that He is light, which means He's the life, which means He gives us the life. Why is it so important? Because without Him, there is no life. He is the only one that provides it. So He provides the light, but also the light brings clarity to us. See, let me go over to Ephesians. Ephesians 5, 8, and 9. It talks about how we were before. Ephesians 5, 8, 9, it says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. So the fruit of the light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. That is what life brings, the light. It brings in everything that is good. Darkness, on the other hand, brings in everything that's bad. It brings in falsehood, it brings in ignorance, and it ultimately leads to sin. So God is light, and the light shines in to give us clarity on who we are and how we relate to Him. If you think about it, all through the Bible, we go back to Exodus, where the Israelites have gotten away from the Egyptians. And now they're wandering in the woods, in the wilderness. And as they wander, they have a cloud that leads them by day. And then by night, they have a pillar of fire that follows them or shows them where to go. You see, they were completely lost, walking in the woods, wandering around. They needed God to guide them. They needed God to come in before them and show them where they needed to go. Well, the same with us. Light brings us clarity. We are lost, but then God shines the light into our life to show us what we should do, what we shouldn't do, where we should go, where we shouldn't go. Just as He was with them all the time, He's with us all the time. But the other thing is, when Moses went up on the Mount Sinai and he was going up there to meet with the Lord, and when he comes down, he comes walking down from the mountain, and he comes down and everybody's looking at him and his face is glowing. Now, why is it glowing? Because he had been in the presence of God, and God's light, because it says in here, God is light. God's light was shining off of him, reflecting off of him. Now, why was he going up on the mountain? He was going up on the mountain to receive God's law. God's law tells men how we should live, how we shouldn't live. In fact, Psalms 119, verse 105, it says this, "Your word," meaning God's word, "your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." See, Moses was going up to get the law so that God could shine into their lives to let them know what they should do and what they shouldn't do. But the good thing is, we still have that word now. We still have those instructions now, so that we have that light that can shine into our lives and tell us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Now, when the light shines in on us, here's the good thing and the bad thing. The good thing is, it reveals us. The bad thing is, it reveals all of us. It reveals the good stuff. It reveals the bad stuff. It's almost like when you're walking down a walk and you've got a flashlight and it's at night and you're going down a path and you have a flashlight and you shine it and you're looking and you look at the path and you say, you know, I'm not too sure. That one kind of looks bad. I'm not too sure I'm going to go down that path. And then you take the light off of it and you turn around and you go the other way because that one looks a little dangerous. See, here's the bad thing about what can happen to us. Because see, the light shines through all darkness, and it shows what's truly there. And it shows what sins in our life. We don't get to decide what the sin is. God Himself does. And He does it through His light. And He'll shine it in our life and show what should be there and what shouldn't be there. And there are times when the light hits a certain area in our life, and we look at it, and the light reveals what's going on there, and we say, I don't like the looks of that. I think I'm just going to leave that alone. I'm not going to mess with that, because that might stir up too much dust. And instead of letting the light shine and go in there and take care of it, clean it up, and keep going, we turn the light off of it. And then we walk over to the other side and say, I'm going to leave that the way it is. I'm not going to mess with that. And I'm going to come over here and shine the light over here. I know what's over there, but I'm comfortable with leaving that in my life. And we don't let the light have its full effect that it should. Because the light shines in on all darkness, and it's going to show what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And there are times when we'll see it, we'll understand it, and we know it, and God knows we know it. And then we turn around and walk away and say, not today. I can't change that in my life today. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow, but today I'm not housekeeping in that particular area right now. You can have this over here, but not that, not yet. But see, God, the light shines in the darkness. So it's either the light or the dark. And when you turn the light off, that means God steps out of that area of your life. And He says, if you want it, you can have it. But if you want it, that means you have to deal with the consequences of you having it. Because He's a loving God. He'll show us what we should do, shouldn't do. But He's a just God in that He'll give it to you. But then you have to deal with the consequences afterwards. So that when we go and He shines a light into our areas of our life and He wants us to deal with those areas, the best thing to do is say, show me what it is. Let me see what it is, and you help me clean this up in my life, because I can do it with you. You see, the more we sin, the more God draws away from us. And have y'all noticed that? Have you ever felt distant from God? Have you ever felt like God's far away? And you're like, God, where are you? Why aren't you here right now? I need you right now. Why aren't you here right now? And he feels so distant. I know I'm not the only one that's ever felt like that. I know all of us have felt that way. God, where are you? Why aren't you here right now? Good question to ask is, God, what is it that I need to change right now? Why are you so far away? What is it in my life that you don't like, that you see in my life, but you don't like in my life? What do I need to change right now? What is it that you're trying to tell me? Because I feel you're so far away and I need you right here. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get you right here. And those are the times when he's going to show you what in your life needs to change. See, the light brings clarity. And he's right there for you. And he'll show you what needs to change in your life. So why do we need the light? It gives us life, but it also gives us clarity in life to show how we should and shouldn't live. So that when we're wanting God right there, he's right there for us because we're willing to do whatever the light shows we should do. But now, not only is God light, but then the next thing on your outline is the light is Christ. The light is Christ. And we see God's nature through Christ. We see God's nature through Christ. And we can see in this passage that Jesus and God are one. It says, in this message we have heard from him and announced to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now why do I say that? Because in John chapter 8 verse 12, Jesus is speaking. It says, Jesus spoke again to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus is saying, by his own words, I am the light. So God here is saying, John's saying, God's the light. But yet in John's first gospel, he says, Jesus is the light, and that's Jesus' own words. So the two are one. God's the light, Jesus is the light. You can see right here that the two are one. When people try to deny the Trinity and they're like, well, how can that be? Well, here's a passage right here. When you compare this to another scripture that John wrote, the two are saying the same thing. God is light and Jesus is light. The two are one. They're the same. So we can see here that the light is Christ. And Christ came into this world so that he could show the light of God into this world. He came in so that we could see how we should live, because he did it. But not only that he showed us how we should live, but he also brought life. We can see that in a few different verses. Let me show you in John chapter 1, verse 1. It starts, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See again there, they're saying, he's with God, he is God. But then he goes on and says, he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So it says, in him was life, and he came here as the life to the light of men. Meaning he came in here to give us life. To show us and then give it to us. And then in John chapter 10 verse 10 it says, the thief comes only to steal and to destroy. And this is Jesus talking. He said, I came that they may have life. How does that make you feel? That Jesus came into this world so that you can have life. But he didn't just say so that they can have life, because the next part is, he says, and have it abundantly. Not just a little bit of life. He said, you can have it abundantly. He wants you to have all of it. And we have it all through him. And then the next one is Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 5. It says, and you are dead in your trespasses and sins. in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You ever thought about that? The way God saw you before you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? He said you were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Because you've done something against God, you're dead, is what he's saying. But he doesn't leave us there, and he says, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, it's one of my favorite verses, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You see, through Christ, we have life. That's the only way we have life, is through Christ. So when we were dead, we couldn't do a single thing. God steps in through his Son and gives us life. And all we got to do is believe. Believe in him. So the light itself is Christ. But now the last part in here says Christians are called to be light. Christians are called to be light. I'm getting this from Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Because it says in there, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and gives the light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that you may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, after we accept the light, we become the light. Because this is Jesus' words here. He's saying that now we, once we accept him, we're the light of the world. That means that we're the ones that now are supposed to share God's light. Shine God's light around here. So we're the light. The function of our light is to make reality and truth visible to this world. All right, y'all probably wondering why I had this over here. I think it's probably kind of obvious. But here's us before we accept Christ. Is there any light coming out of this at all? No. Would this thing do you any good? Samuel, would this done you any good when your power went out the other night? Not a bit. No. Nothing at all. You'd be sitting in the dark. Right? You got to plug it in. And then you got to turn on the light. Plugging in the part is, that's when you're plugged into Christ. When you plug this lamp into the wall, that means you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So the first question is, have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever come to a time when you said, look, I know I can't make it to heaven on my own? Because one thing that I'll ask people is, why should God let you in heaven? And some people will say, well, I've done a lot of good things. Really? But you've done a lot of bad things too. So why should God let you into heaven? Well, because I've done more good than bad. That doesn't matter. God doesn't look at that. He's not doing, okay, well, you've done more good than bad. That doesn't get you in heaven. Because I've put my faith, my hope, my trust in Jesus Christ. That gets you to heaven. Have you done that? If you hadn't done that, then you're sitting here right now, like this. It's not even plugged in. You're just sitting here, an empty lamp, and it can't do a thing. That's you. But once you accept Christ, then you plug it into the wall. But now, here's the next thing. This lamp going to do any good right now? Nope. Because the light's got to be on. If I can find the light switch. So now the light's on. Is it doing any good now? It's shining a little bit, right? If you went into a room, in a dark room, it would help you out some, right? But is this really shining the way it should? Not really. Because, see, you've got this cover over the top of it. And as long as that cover's there, it's going to block some of the light. See, Jesus, what he's saying is, this is the way we are a lot of times in our life. We got the light, we're shining, but we're not shining the way he wants us to. So he's saying in that passage that we need to take this off. And you see, this right here represents the world. All the stuff in the world that we get cluttered up in our life just basically sits over this and it darkens us to the world. So you need to take this off, whatever this is in your life, whatever is holding you back from shining for Christ the way you should. And you need to sit it down on the side. And then you see how bright this is? Y'all try looking at it for a while. I'm not going to because I want to be able to see for a little bit. But if you look at this for a long time, it burns your eyes, doesn't it? Because the light's bright. Jesus is bright in our lives if we'll allow him to shine in our lives the way we should. But a lot of us get caught up in all the stuff going on in the world. And we do this. And now you can look at this now and it won't burn your eyes, will it? It's not too bright. That's not the way God intended us. He wants us to shine bright for him. So the next time you see your lamp, when you go home, say, am I shining bright as I should? Or am I using that cover to cover up my light? Now, we should always be shining for Christ, all the time. But now, not only that, but it's so that people can see us and see Christ in us. That's the reason for the light. So people are drawn to the light. It's almost like a moth. When you turn on the light at night and all the moths come flying in, around here it seems like it's more ladybugs than anything. The ladybugs come flying in. Have y'all noticed that? I mean, there's a few there and a few there. They're drawn to the light. That's the way people should be to us. We turn on the light and people are drawn to the light. But now here's the next question in that. When they're drawn to the light, they're drawn to it because we're doing good things in the community. We're doing good things for people. Do we get the credit for that? See, if you go to this passage in Matthew, because it says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. Meaning you're doing good works for people. That means that you find somebody that needs help. And I don't mean just financial help, because most people say, well, that means financial help, and I don't have the money to help anybody. It doesn't mean just financial help. If you know somebody that's hurting, pick up the phone and call them and just say, look, I know what you're going through, and I'm praying for you. If you know somebody that needs help around their house, pick up the phone and say, can I do something for you around the house? I heard something was happening there. Can I help you in any way? It doesn't have to be money related. Emotions are sometimes greater than financials. So see, our good works show the light. But not only do we stop there and we don't take the pat on the back, because people are going to try to pat you on the back and say, good job. That's when you step in and really let them see the light. Because he says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. And then it goes on and says, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So what do our works do? They glorify God. Now, when I was younger, I used to think, well, now, if I'm doing all these good works, I'm the one that's doing all these good works, right? Well, then shouldn't I be getting credit for this? Why is God always getting credit for this? Why do I have to glorify him? Has any of y'all ever thought about that? Maybe that was just me when I was a young kid and I had too much time to think about things. I don't know. But here's why we should give God the credit. This is why God deserves it all. First thing is he did all the work to give us life. He gave us life. Not only in the beginning, we're in the beginning, not only when we were born, but also through Christ. He gave us life. So He gives us life in the beginning, but He also gives it to us through Christ too. He did all the work bringing Christ to us. We didn't do anything in that. So that's the first reason. Second is He sustains our life. Whenever God decides that our time here on earth is done, and He takes His hand off of us, our time here is done. Period. We don't have a choice in that. God is the one that chooses that. So God is the one that sustains our life. We can't do it on our own. There's no way. The next thing is that He's the one that gives us the ability to do the good works that we're doing. You ever thought about that? He's the one that helps us to do it. He's the one that allows us physically to help people. He's the one that allows us emotionally to help people. Because of that, He's the one that gets all the glory because of what He's done for us. So when you're doing something good for Him, and then you step back and you're like, maybe I should take some of this credit. You know, I did good. I'm good. I did good at this. This is a good job. You need to step back and say, God, I'm sorry. You gave me the ability to do it. You allowed me to do this. You allowed me to be here right now to do this. I'm giving You all the glory for this right now. So, in conclusion, what we can see from this is that God tells us, or John tells us, that God is light. And that the light is the source of life. And that source of life is Christ. That's where the life comes from. It's given through Christ and Christ alone. So the first thing I want to ask you, just like I asked just a second ago, do you have that life? Do you know a time in your life where you have given your life over to Christ? When you said, I know I can't make it to heaven on my own. Doesn't matter how many good works I've done. Works won't do it. It has to be through faith and faith alone. Next, are you allowing your light to change your life? Meaning when that light's on, is it shining in all areas of your life? And then when you see those areas that need to change, you're changing them. Or are you kind of pushing it out of the way and saying, I'm going to leave this over here right now, and I'll deal with that later on. Someday down the road, I might deal with this, but I'm not going to touch it today. Are you doing that? And the last thing, are you letting your light shine so that others are drawn to it? So that God gets the glory. And that His word is proclaimed. You see, God gave us an awesome responsibility. We're the ones that share the gospel. There's no plan B with God. We're the ones that share the gospel. We're the ones that go out into the community and share the gospel. Nobody else. He gave that job to us. That's our job that God has given us. And because of that, that means we need to go out and share. We need to let our light shine out into the community. Let it shine out to family, to friends, anybody around. So that's your charge for this week. As we close, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song. First thing I'm going to ask you is, do you know that you've got the light of life? If you don't, I'm going to be standing down front. Come down front, and I'll help explain how you can have that. Next thing is, are you letting it shine into every part of your life? And thirdly, are you letting it shine out into the community? All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank You that You've given us Your word that shows us the light of life, shows how we can have it, but then shows us how we can live it. Lord, I thank You for that. Help us to be the light, Lord. Your word says that once we've accepted You as our Lord and Savior, that we now are the light, and we need to show that light to the world so that people are drawn to You through us. Lord, help us to do that. Help us not to take credit for it, but also when You shine a light into our lives and we know there's something that needs to change, Lord, help us to be willing to do it. Don't let us just sit back and say, well, maybe I'll do it later. Lord, help us to be obedient and do it now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
invitation is on page 595.